Hello. Welcome to the Roll Together podcast. Thank you for joining us for these podcast versions of our streamed shows from Twitch. You can always find our schedule of upcoming shows at twitch.tv/RollTogetherRPG/schedule. Please do leave a review, and we look forward to adventuring together.
Welcome to Talk Together. Thank you for joining us for an evening of talking about Dungeons and Dragons. I am Rebecca Hare. I will be your host tonight, and I am chatting to Ali, who you can say here. So first things first, Ali, who are you? What do you do? Why are you here?
Well, in terms of D&D, I will be an artificer of the computer science college or specialty. So whatever I do research for a university, so I'm a researcher at Cranfield University, and we deliver research to companies.
That's really cool. So that's what you're doing when you aren't playing D&D, the sad parts of our lives. How long have you played D&D for? How did you hear about Roll Together? I'm just being nosy. Tell me everything, please.
Yeah, so I think I've been playing D&D for about 3 years, but I've been playing TTRPGs for longer. And for one of my home games, you might know, Red, Liz, and John. So I started actually watching Roll Together with Sea Swords Forsaken. Saying it well. And then when some of the shows were, or like when I finished the shows that were like live, I went back and I've been watching as well some of the older videos, let's say.
Amazing. Awesome. So I should probably get through the rest of our intro and then I can officially start asking you the questions. I jumped the gun a bit there, didn't I? I'm just very excited that we get to talk. Okay. So the intro. Where did we get to? This is Ali. I'm Rebecca. Tonight, we'll be going through some questions and anecdotes and probably a lot of tangents. And the questions, as always, will be decided by the dice. I have so many more D20s. I got given so many D20s for Christmas. So tonight, I'll be rolling this one. And this dice will decide the questions we ask. Before we kick off, the stream will run for an hour. We're delighted to be sponsored by Hero Forge, Ultra Pro, and Elderwood Academy, and supported by D&D Beyond, Warriors of Waterdeep, and Level Up Dice. We are Roll Together RPG on all social media, and our shows are available as podcasts. Just search Roll Together RPG on your favorite podcasting app. And finally, and very importantly, a huge thank you to our D20 Club on Patreon. They are brilliant. Go check them out. Right. Ali, are you ready for your first question?
Roll that die.
Oh, thank goodness you're doing it for me so I don't have to. It's so cringe. Oh, that is an 18. So, oh, it's a great question to start with. Who or what is the best villain you've ever faced in a game?
So, I have some options here, but I think one is a little bit of metagaming. So my worst villain is time scheduling. Time scheduling always, you know, ruins every single game. And then my favorite one, which is in-game, consequences. Consequences are like the best villain ever. You know, like, you never expect that some things will like domino to 10 or 20 sessions after. And it's like, why did I do that? And if we are talking about like a specific NPC or character, so in one of my home games, there is this, basically it's like an open game, or like open, like sand war thing, you know, you can just explore things. And then at some point we just found this sort of dragon that we didn't know it was a dragon, so it was a person. And then this NPC stayed with us for a while, and he was just like, oh yes, you can do it, and I can give information, and sort of being sometimes a pain in the ass. But then when we find out that he was like the villain after back everything, it was like, wait a minute. Are you saying that this time you were just conducting us for you to keep going with your plan? And it was just like amazing. I mean, you know, sometimes you develop feelings for NPCs. It's like, oh, I don't want this to die, or like pets or things like that. So this was this kind of character. And it was like, oh my God, I should have let you die like three sessions after we found you. But
what did you do with them in the end?
We had to kill it.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah, it was a big bad guy from the campaign. So sorry.
Was it a good battle?
It was a long battle. You know, like one of those things, like really just three rounds of 3 hours, and just like we haven't gone through even half of the hit points of these creatures. It's like, okay, let's have a break. We continue next time. So I think this sort of pace that we got through the whole battle, it was amazing for to have some sort of meta game in between sessions. So it was like, oh, maybe we can do this, maybe we can do that, and then try to make some synergy with the whole players. And then when you come to the actual battle, everything goes south, and then it's like, yeah. I don't know, the best moments when plans go south. I don't know.
Yeah, I have to ask, the consequences is the best answer I've ever heard to this question. You sound like you have a specific consequence in mind. What's the like the best or worst, I don't know, consequences come back to bite you in a game?
Well, I think, so I have this character in one of my home games, and I think I can talk about from the perspective of other players, who is a cleric. Mm-hmm. And that cleric has always prepared a banishment in case my character does something stupid or puts himself in a crazy situation, so the cleric can just banish me to safe place.
Nice.
Like another dimension. So that character has had a lot of key moments when it's like, he's not gonna do it. Oh, hit it. just develop into other stuff. It's like, I was never wanted to this to happen, but it did. So I remember this time that I thought I was going to open a puzzle, like a box thing. And it wasn't a puzzle. It was like the coffin of a mummy. And I was like, well, yes. So a battle after, or like an encounter after, so my character got cursed. So he got this, I don't remember the ability of the mummy, but you know, mummies can sort of, you start rotting yourself. So it's like, yeah, I think it was one of my
mummy favorites. Rot is just, I think, the worst condition I've come across in game. I know it's not mechanically the worst, but it's awful and I hate it.
Yes, and then sort of, hopefully, I'm not answering one of the other questions, but I sort of only play bards, or I tend to play bards. So doing that to a bard who is like charismatic and, you know, sort of the face of the party. So that means that the face of the party now is ugly and all with wrinkles. And it's like, no, why? And then you have like, I think you need remove curse, like a high level spell that we couldn't get till later. So it was like, why did I dodge that thing to begin with?
Amazing. Do you think there are any consequences waiting for Tiselli?
I think I'm expecting some. You know, like Tiselli, I don't know, there is a lot of the backstory that I hope we could share with the audience. But yeah, consequences.
Wait, for those who haven't seen it yet, Selly is Ali's bard in A Shadows Fell Symphony that had episode one on Monday. It is magnificent fun. I can say all the casts are wonderful, but Selly is magnificent. And I feel like, yeah, there are some consequences waiting around the corner that you've just sort of set up for yourself very nicely. It's going to be beautiful. I cannot wait to learn more about his backstory because there's so much going on there. However, we can't do spoilers because, I mean, I don't know them yet and I want to find them out in game, and then the audience should find them out in game as well. So much as I want to ask you to tell me everything, I won't. Shall we do another question instead?
Please.
Amazing. Okay. Oh, this one is a question four. Who would you love to have at your gaming table?
So I think I've heard like excellent answers about like people that is on the theatrical kind of background, or like, oh, I want to have this person who is really charismatic or really, I don't know, like how to say, VIP person. But my answer is I want the mean girls to be on my table. I mean, very pleased, very, very pleased. So I think I haven't given a thought about who will play in what, but I think they will play. But I think, talking about the characters, I think I will ask them to play someone different to their personalities. Mm. So probably Regina will have to play a cleric.
A mean, horrible cleric.
The meanest of the meanest to play a cleric.
Does that mean Karen has to play a wizard?
Very intelligent, yes. Or if we go to a funny place, you know, she can predict weather, so maybe she can have a, she can be maybe just one level of druid, so she can druid craft
that little weather
prediction of the weather. Yes,
but that would be amazing. Oh, who would DM though?
I think I will go with the actual actress, so the professor, the one with the glasses. I don't remember
Tina Fey.
So I think she is really talented comedian.
Amazing. Probably.
I will ask her to DM.
And she's a writer as well, isn't she? She could write the best campaign with the best jokes, and that's a fantastic idea. Would you be in this campaign or just like laughing from sidelines?
I would like to be watching it. Mm-hmm. We'll probably have some like featuring from time to time.
Yeah.
So yes.
I think I'd be too scared to sit down at an actual table with Regina George. That sounds like
I mean, the thing is, you know, like out of game, she would be like a bitch, but in game, I would, you have to be the cleric, you know, the stereotypical cleric.
Mm.
Because, you know, you can have some really edgy clerics.
Yes, I have met them.
But you have to be the one taking care of everyone.
That would be great. That is fantastic. How did you think of that? Were you watching Mean Girls and like D&D campaign?
So I've told you, like, I've watched the other interviews and it's like, oh, that's very interesting. But, you know, that's sometimes we think of a person of an actor or actress for what they present.
Mm.
And probably they are not like that in real life, you know, like probably some of the actor actresses may be introverted. So maybe it will be some sort of difficulties to go to D&D or role play. But then characters, we know how they are fully for what they presented on there. So there wouldn't be like any surprise thing that they make bring to the table, because now we know that Regina is a bitch, that the others are a little bit odd, and so on. So that's it. Just wanted to go for something more secure, let's say, or like something that, not secure, but what is the word? Like something that is well known,
yeah,
that mainstream, let's say, you know, like there is no possibility that Regina George will at some point bring her vulnerability to the table. No. Regina George is a bitch.
It's a brilliant question. Maybe we should add it to our list of what real people would you play, but also what set of characters do you want to play D&D with? I think I want to play it with everyone from Winnie the Pooh. Can you imagine?
Igor and Tigger. Oh my goodness. Yes, very pleased.
It was brilliant.
The kangaroo is really apprehensive, right? No, who's apprehensive? Is the bunny?
Oh, rabbit. Rabbit gets very stressed by everything, yeah.
Imagine him or they playing a cleric. Right? So, please.
And then Rue would be bouncing around all over the table, getting incredibly excited.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like anyone I play. That sounds great. Oh, it'd be brilliant. You have to make Eeyore play like a really upbeat kind of paladin. We're a really chirpy warlock, something like that. Something high in charisma for Eeyore, I think, would be great.
Really slow paced talking, but always coherent. Yes. Maybe a bard eloquent. Eloquence.
That's it. Bard. Eeyore is a bard. We've got it. Let's play it. Let's trademark it. Let's go.
And now I think for today or last week.
Yes.
So we don't have to pay rights.
We have to steer clear of Disney Winnie the Pooh because that's still trademarked. But A.A. Milne Winnie the Pooh is up for grabs. So maybe we should talk to the producers and get a Winnie the Pooh one shot.
Chat, let us know if you want to see maybe one shot of Winnie the Pooh.
Brilliant. And just say yes anyway, because I want to play it. Onwards. Okay. Doobie-doo. Ooh, that is an 8. What is an 8? An 8. Ooh, it's one of our most controversial questions. Ali, how do you feel about PvP?
Yes, please, all the time. No.
There's another one. Yes, good.
No, the thing is, I think we talk about a lot of secure tables, right? So before starting a campaign, you need to make sure that everybody's on the same page about that. I always say, very please, if without the odd excuse of that's what my character would do, without that, if you feel like the right answer for that is punching me in the face, go for it, right? But on the other hand, or like not on the other hand, but on a non-conventional campaign sort of talk, I love when people run PvP tournaments, which is amazing. So it's like player against player in a sort of arena or whatever they set up. However, D&D is not well balanced for PvP, you know? So you can find some really crazy combos between classes or even multi-class that they are just overpowered. That's why maybe PvP in an actual campaign might not work. So you need to be really clear about as a DM, you need to be really clear about what's going to happen in this PvP. Mm-hmm. When to stop PvP, because you know nobody wants to kill other characters, you know. Maybe they just want to establish a chain of power, or maybe they just want the item, or etc. etc. Everything depends on the context. But if someone asks me at the beginning of a campaign if I'm okay with PvP, go for it.
Yeah, good to know. So that's quite mechanical combat based PvP. How do you feel about more roleplay mean PvP?
Then again, yes, please, all the time. I think life in general is full of conflict. Not to have a little bit of conflict in D&D, right? So I know it could be a little bit uncomfortable with people because sometimes it could be a little bit difficult to separate what is happening in game and what is happening out game. So if someone is not really comfortable with a discussion, like a confrontation more than a discussion, by all means, just say like, I'm not comfortable with this. I'd just rather step away from the situation, or I'd rather you two discuss that, have your argument, kill each other, and then I will go on with whatever the result. Mm-hmm. So discussions and arguments in D&D might be a little bit not that common, because I believe people don't feel, in my experience, not feel comfortable at this arguing with somebody that you actually don't want to argue. So let's say if if Harmony and would go into an argument,
surely it not.
It wouldn't be Ali and Rebecca arguing, right? But I still have to talk to Rebecca, and Rebecca has to talk to me. So it could be, I think, it could be a little bit difficult for some people. So it's always, and if you that you're watching, you feel uncomfortable with something, always speak up. Always, always, because we are here to have fun.
You make a really good point. I think I always think of mechanical combat PvP as like a step up, worse, more. But actually, in some senses, it's easier because you're very unlikely to stab someone with a sword in your real life unless you have a strange life. You do you.
You roll a dice for that.
Yeah. And that's obviously pretend you're not also punching the player in the face. But with role play PvP, it does get a bit blurrier. But like you said, safe tables come first. Make sure everyone's having a great time and then go for it.
Yes.
Sounds brilliant. You are wise, Ali.
I'm just...
Another before I embarrass you too much.
Roll that dice.
Excellent. Oh, and we're staying below 10. I don't like it. This is a 3. What is your favorite character class? I feel we've touched on this already.
Do I have to answer that question?
Tell us everything. Tell us why.
I love bards. I think, objectively, I think they are top 3 most powerful classes in D&D. But they are also a little bit like looked down because everybody thinks that the bard is just like the horny one that is like talking to a, trying to lay with everyone. And yes, they are, but they are more than that. So my fascination with the bards is that I think it's just, it comes with the jack of all trades. Mm. I think that in real life, I match with that, you know, like where you are not the most talented, insert known here, but you are really good in many things, which I think most of us are, right? Like we are good at running, but we are not Usain Bolt. We are good at swimming, but we are not a medalist, right? So I think thinking of ourselves in a more holistic way is better than thing, or to me in the life works better than thing like, oh, I'm gonna be the best in this, because that is so tiring. And then I think I want to play every single role as a bard. So I of course, at some point I multiclass, or I usually multiclass, but you know, like no one will, in a home game, it would be really difficult to think of a bard as a frontliner, because as Harmony has shown and this other character, at some point the bard just have to step up and do it, right? Or I haven't played yet a healer bard, but if you think of a healer, you go immediately for the cleric or maybe the druid, but the bard is like, maybe not the best. It's not, it's really good, but it's not in the power wheelhouse. So I think I want to play more and more D&D to play every single role as a bard.
That sounds brilliant. That sounds like a really good ambition. Oh, you are wise again. I love the idea of jack of all trades just being what we are, and that's great.
So.
What made you pick Artificer to multiclass for Tesele, and how's it going?
So, Tesele, this version of Tesele, so the multiverse exists, and this version of Tesele is another version of another Tesele that I play. And I always try, I mean, when I start to develop a character, I always go for min-max. So how I'm gonna make the most of my abilities in combination with, if I'm gonna multi-class, how the best combination. And for this one, I wanted to create something that is, how to say, that there is a conflict with abilities. So you have charisma for Bard, and then intelligence for the artificer. So it's like, how can I make this work? Mm-hmm. It was more of a challenge. And the backstory just helped, or maybe I just forced. I don't know. It was an iterative work between wanting this. I also play a lot of, well, I don't play Magic that much, or Magic the Gathering, but I try to keep on track with the new releases. Mm. And then one of the last releases, they were managing, well, using this term that is Life Crafter, which is mages that sort of take nature and technology together, or like putting them together. And I thought like, what if a bard would do this? And I thought, bards are creative and emotional. How if we put a little bit of order into this? And then the artificer was there. It was like, so what else is also artistry? Well, we have the artificer. So I thought like art is just dancing and singing. Well, there is more like painting and sculpturing. So I think that's where the artificer part of the Selly came from. Like to say, it's the Selly is really creative as a bard, and then the artificer is just the way to put it into useful things, mm-hmm. as we have seen with Swifty. That
if you gotta love Swifty.
If you don't know who Swifty is, go and watch episode one. And yeah, I think it was more of a challenge. This combination was more of a challenge. How to put two classes with different abilities together.
Yeah, it's been so much fun with an all-bard party for all the obvious reasons, but especially for finding all the different multi-classes and how they're working. Playing a bard tank is not something I'd ever thought of before, and it's making me so happy.
Amazing.
But a bard tank on top of an artificer's magic unicorn, it's just the best.
Yes. No spoilers.
My first contact with Ali, for the people watching, was after we'd been put in a campaign and on a Discord server together, was Ali then messaged me going, "Hi, so I have this idea. Please could you take the mounted combatant feat if that's not really inconvenient? And I think I can help." I just went, "Sure, I'm very bad at min-maxing, so I'm very happy when someone else just goes, take this and you'll be brilliant."
Oh, really? I had a
sneak peek of what Ali might be planning, but I wasn't expecting a glorious, glorious mechanical unicorn, and I love it so much.
Yeah.
The problem will be at the end of this campaign, if we try and go our separate ways, I don't think Harmony will give you Swifty back. Mm. She has
probably we can create a second one.
Great.
Just perfect time and materials.
Otherwise,
and right.
Brilliant. Shall we have another question before, like, oh, I threaten character anymore, apparently. Okay. Doobie-doo. Ooh, that is an 11, which is the very broad question. Who is your favorite character?
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I have a favorite. I love them all the same. But I think I was really fond of my very first character. I think in my case, the first D&D character that I ever made, it was, I put a lot of myself into it. So it was like, oh, maybe this and this. And then I was like, Ali, you're projecting yourself.
Yeah,
it's have fun.
It's the rules, I think, that your first D&D character has to just be you in fantasy form. It's the rules.
I think so, yes. They should be a box in the books, having that tip.
I made a self-righteous paladin who has great hair, like.
Right?
Yeah.
It was a really, I invested a lot of time in him. And at the end, that the campaign didn't really go long. So answering another question that is also the hardest character to say goodbye.
Ooh, okay.
Like, come on, I want to experience myself in medieval fantasy, come on. And then it was like, well, no. But then I was with friends, and I think a few of them were like as well, like the very first time playing D&D. So they did as well this sort of short way into making the first character, which is I'm gonna do myself, I'm gonna portray myself. So it was a really cool interaction with what if we would have been born in a medieval fantasy and put us together and met somehow. So I think that character and that table was really, really lovely for myself. I'm still remembering.
How did you have to say goodbye to them? Did they die?
Time scheduling.
No, the worst villain of all. But that means they're still out there, they're still alive, and they could come back for another campaign, right?
And I should have, like, the character sheet somewhere, I believe.
Yeah. And you know more now, so you can just make them even cooler, if that's possible.
Yes.
Were they a bard?
Not yet.
They weren't a bard! What were they?
The thing is, I think I was trying to go through my life story as well, and I think I put fighter first, like,
okay.
I went to fighter for a while, and then I was going into the bar. So it was a little bit weird because I had charisma that I didn't usually use in game, and I was like, Ali, what did you fighter has charisma? I was like, well, tell me. And then once I was about to turn into like the bar, like things changes, and I'm like, no, please. And yes, I was sort of a dex-based fighter, but it wasn't like as powerful as I wanted.
Yeah.
So I never get into it.
What level did you get to?
I think it was still level 5-ish.
Okay, so you picked a subclass. What subclass was Ali the fighter?
Battlemaster.
Amazing. Perfect. Brilliant.
So, we had a lot of casters, and every time I was like, I need to get them out of trouble. So one of the maneuvers, I don't remember the name, that allows you to hit a creature and then like create a distraction for another creature to move without opportunity attack. So it was like, I need to save the assets of all these casters.
That doesn't sound familiar at all. In an all bad party, being the only one with a sword.
Right. I mean, we all love Corporal Meatshield, don't we?
True. And I've never actually played a Meatshield before, so it is very enjoyable having a go.
But this Meatshield has gone to the gym, you know? It's not just muscle, not meat, it's muscles.
Yeah. And charisma.
Perfect combination, I mean.
Muscles and charisma is a really good combination. That's just a fact. Shall we have another question?
Roll that dice.
I think, Ali, I'm going to need you every time I host one of these just to do the gimmick for me, if that's all right. That's an 18. We've already had an 18. Let's roll it again. That is a 13. It's a more less concrete question. Ali, what do dice mean to you?
Oh, so I have a background of applied mathematics, and for me, it's just chaos. You know, like, well, you can create statistical distributions of the roles, but at the end, it's just chaos. You know, I want to do this. Oh, will you do this? You know, like, I think for a DM, the phrase, you can try, is just absolutely amazing, you know, like, and it's like in life, right? Like sometimes the chances that you have to do something that you want to do, sometimes doesn't really depend on you. So there's many other factors that influence on your daily decision making or the results that you get from your actions. So I think that is bringing a little bit of reality into the game. Mm-hmm. Like, we all want to go and slay the dragon or sleep with, it's up to you. But then you also want $1 million in your bank account, right? So just, it may happen, it may not happen. So roll for that. Now, fun fact, I don't have a single dice. I reluctantly avoid having dice. Here is the story, if we have time. So,
oh, we have time. I need to hear this. Otherwise, I will just post you dice.
We were having, so before lockdown and all this shit, I was playing with in a home game, and the DM had some dice, and he brought it. Like, oh, this is really cool. So we were using his dice. And then lockdown and everything, and thanks God to D&D Beyond that we have digital roll dicers. And at some point, for one version of the Selly, I said, the Selly deserves its own set of dice. Mm. So I made when you pay for something that is...
Oh, made, commission.
Yes, for a commission. And it went out, you know, there was a small business and they were just like late, they were not responding. And it was like, you know what? I will support more small businesses, but I will never get material dice. And that's it.
That's just a very sad story.
Is it? I don't know.
Will anything change your mind? Because to Sally, he does deserve some beautiful, shiny, click-clack chaos dice.
I will become a dice goblin. I think that's the term.
Oh, like, you are speaking to one. Dice are just fun.
Thank you. No, thank you.
I would like to say it is not my fault that I am a dice goblin. When family and friends found out that I played D&D, they're like, dice. Pretty dice, right? And for pretty much every birthday and Christmas for the last 5 years, dice, which is great. I am not complaining, but I have no dice that I have bought myself. None. They are all gifts and I love them all so much. More dice, always. It's great. But yeah, can confirm it's very easy to turn into a goblin.
So yes, I don't want that.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Just like I said, you won. Just
gently. No. No chat. Don't send me any dice.
All right. Well, so dice, going back, it is awesome to get the mathematician's perspective on it. Do you ever have a moment when you're like, that just shouldn't happen? I understand there is a chance of it, but that should not have happened.
Yes, there is sometimes, I believe we have this concept of passive perception and I think passive investigation. Mm-hmm. I believe there should be also passive everything, you know, like if you are bard, you should be a passive performer. So like, you naturally do that. You're trained for that. Or if you want to say, maybe implement a house, a home game rule that is, if you have expertise in that, it means that you usually do that. So we will roll with your passive performance or passive persuasion, et cetera, et cetera. That sometimes you, for example, let's say a bard who always is performing. Of course, not all the performances goes well. Even the professional singers might have bad days. Mm-hmm. But there is sometimes that is like, this situation is so ridiculous that I'm having a natural one. Mm-hmm. You know, I train for this. What's going on? That not even the context of the situation justify why you fail in that role. Yeah. So I think there is some situations that could be avoided and also save time, you know, like, oh, just let's roll with this, you know, like let's tell the story rather than interrupt to make 10 roles mm-hmm. for the same shit, you know? So yes, I definitely have had some situations with like...
Yeah, it's a really good point, because obviously that ones are fun and great, and sometimes terrible stuff does happen, but... Oh, it was Critical Role. I was listening to Campaign 3 of Critical Role with my husband. No spoilers, but there's a bit where there's a trapeze troupe doing some trapezy things, and one of them gets in that one and falls and breaks his back very badly. And then, you know, they're all NPCs. It's a tiny bit of plot, and they move on. But my husband... He's a trapeze artist in his fair time because, you know, he's great. Muscles and charisma, can recommend. And he was like, that just, I mean, obviously D&D mechanics, it is what it is, but that just wouldn't happen. By the time you're professionally performing trapeze, you don't roll a nat one, fall off and break your back. Right. You might fall off, but you'll fall at a 10 because you know how to fall safely and all that kind of thing, not at a one. And it's just one of the bits where it's really hard to get the mechanics to correlate to all the things your character has been designed to be good at.
Yes. And also, yeah. And also, let's remember that we are in a fantasy world where sometimes we think that we are bringing our concept of physics into this world. Like, and forget about that. Mm-hmm. This is a fantasy world with fantasy physics rule or fantasy life rules. So.
Yes, trigonometry. Cannot exist. It just can't.
Right. So, yes.
Yes. Good. Maths. Yes. Dice. Chaos. Excellent. More questions.
Roll the dice.
Do 17. Hey, Ali, how do you feel about fudging rolls?
Never, ever, 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 ever. I think. It's that of a challenge for both sides, but especially for the DM. Mm-hmm. In the sense of sometimes you roll a critical and you kill someone. Then it's a challenge for the DM to manage that situation. But I believe it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Right? Sometimes, even in life, as we were saying, things just go south for no reason.
Yeah. Right?
So I don't like doing that. And I think there is other ways sort of to manage some situations, right? Like the famous Deus Machina, saving the day, mm-hmm. or lowering or putting more HP to monster, a boss, a final boss. But then let's the dice be nice. It is what it is. So, of course, it's more of a challenge to say, you know what, that didn't hit, instead of how I'm going to avoid killing these people, or now that he's dead, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Do I bring him back as a returned, or make a pact and turn him into a warlock? Who knows? But yes, not fortune rolls, please.
Do you DM at all?
I DM a lot, mm-hmm. but not normal campaigns, usually like one shots or combat based sessions. Mm-hmm. And so I usually use Roll 20, and every time all my roles are public. And it's fun when they see like my natural ones. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to me when I see my natural 20s because I'm also having fun, right?
Yeah.
I'm also a player. We have different roles, but I'm also a player. So let me as well have some criticals, or let me also have the chance to overcome challenges, because the player is a challenge. I'm not saying that the DM has to win all the time.
Yeah.
The DM should be able to win.
Sometimes, yeah. That's really interesting, because I know other people who DM and play have said on here that they would never fudge as a player, but would sometimes fudge as a DM. But for you, nope, and you'll do hit points and move other things around.
And then you can just say, you know what, as a DM, so the players can pause the game, but DM can also pause the game, you know, just let me have a break, let's go for a wee, and then let me see how we can handle this situation.
Yeah.
Come back and like, I have an idea. And that's it. I think actually that happened last week. I was running a one shot, and for some reason the magician, the wizard just run through this Hydra, and the Hydra basically killed him, right? Like, why did you do that? I mean, why, right? He had a plan, I hope so. But before that, I gave them some items, and one of them was a potion of giant strength. I don't remember which giant, but then I was like, so I said, you know, let's have a break so you can metagame, playing your reaction. And then I came back and I was like, you know what? It was a little bit odd from my side that in a party of casters, or mostly casters or dex-based characters, I give you a potion of strength. Mm-hmm. No one is going to use ever. Let's turn that into a revivify spell scroll, which it's like a free pass or like free out of jail card, mm-hmm. but you still have to get to the wizard and use your action to cast revivify. So mm-hmm. I'm giving you sort of a solution, but it's up to you how you use that solution of the best way to get there. Who are you going to send? Another squishy caster, or are you going to send the squishy rogue, for mm-hmm. example?
That's really interesting. I love the like sheer panicky metagaming in the pause between something terrible happening and the game resuming, whether that's 5 minutes or whether that's the next game. The text threads like just filling up with panic and bad ideas, and oh, it's great.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's brilliant. Okay, so no fudging rolls for Ali. We do not like it. Let's have another question. We are tanking through these. It is brilliant. We still have time left for a few more. Ooh, that is a two. A two is, what spell or ability would you have in real life?
So,
you're not allowed wish, it's too obvious.
I think I have a top three. I don't know how I'm going to put them, and all of them are barred. So, Jack of all trades, Mantle of Inspiration, mm-hmm. or, well, that's very specific, but Bardic Inspiration.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mantle of Inspiration is a use of Bardic Inspiration, but any of those three, I would say I would love to.
Oh, hang on. Jack of all trades, Bardic Inspiration. What was your third one?
Mantle of Inspiration.
Oh, you'd separate the two out. Okay.
Yes. I mean,
if you had to pick, though, general Bardic Inspiration or Mantle, which would you pick?
Bardic Inspiration.
Why?
It's so versatile. Mm-hmm. And I think it just reflects a little bit of personality. Like, it's how can I help, basically? You know, I mean, we're in a party, and if you're going to do something, and I'm not just going to stand back and what, like, you got this, girl, and you have another D6, D8, or D whatever. However, I think I actually want to reverse my answer. I want Unbreakable Majesty. Very please.
What does that do?
I think it's a 14 level of Glamour Bard.
Amazing.
Basically, you can... you know, it's a spell from the clerics that they put on you, and if somebody wants to hit you, they need to do a save.
Okay.
I don't remember the name, but basically it's a similar one. So you become this amazing unearthed beauty, and people cannot hurt you. If they want to hurt you, they need to roll a charisma save, which is one of the least common save in D&D. If they pass the charisma save, they can attack you. But next turn, they will have disadvantage on any of your spells.
Wow.
Or like save on your spell. So that, oh, you hit me, our consequences.
That's incredible. Consequences, we're back again. That's incredible. What happens if they fail? Can they just hit someone else, or?
They can
redirect
the
So you need to make sure everyone else in your party is stronger than you, or you're just being horrible.
But yes.
Don't hit me, hit the small waif child over there.
I participated in this PvP tournament and in a party of 3 versus 3. Oof. So we had a paladin, a wizard, no, a cleric and myself. So a glamour bard, because the glamour bard is just the best bard. And on the other party, we had a monk, a rogue, and a wizard.
Okay.
And I think the wizard, turn 1 or 2, banished my other two companions.
I was going to say, I would put my money on that party.
Right?
Yeah.
And of course they won. But I survived like 17 rounds. I was like, holy shit. So the spell list of the bard is just incredible. Mm-hmm. Plus that ability, it was just amazing. So basically I was like, oh, so you want to hit me? I casted Armor of Agathys. They didn't see that I cast Armor of Agathys. And then it comes a monk, hits me, and I'm like, well, now you can take like 80 points of cold damage. Bye.
Amazing.
And then it's like, it's crazy bananas. But the thing that kept me alive was Unbreakable Majesty, because they just couldn't hit me. And if they actually hit me, I had like too many hit points. And on the next turn, I could just cast and command or crazy things.
That sounds a lot of fun. What level were you at?
17, I think.
I don't have ever played that high. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it was crazy bananas.
Oh, that sounds brilliant. How do these PvP tournaments work? Does it have a DM? Is it text-based? What do you do?
So you make your teams, and then you make like this sort of rota, or like who is facing who. And then there is always like a DM who is like refereeing, and he puts, he established the rules, he established the map, the battle map. And they usually set like turn one, which is set up. So the first round is not, you cannot have aggressive actions, but you can.
Oh, stuff like Armor of Agathys and
just so movement or hide or things like that. And then once that is set up, then it's everyone's game. And it's really interesting because sometimes, you know, as well, it depends on the initiative track. So if a party, all the three of the members go first,
yeah.
Right. So some of the encounters is just like, well, you're banished for a minute. Bye. Or this spell that should be banned from all D&D. Force Cage.
It's horrible. Yeah. It's just horrible if you're stuck in one.
And it's not even concentration. So why? But that's why your bard can take spells from other lists. Feats like Spell Sniper, so you can double your distance. Mm-hmm. So you could be in a safe distance, but it's still countering every single spell.
That sounds awesome. Do you play like a bunch of different matches in one session?
No, they are usually really long sessions, like okay. 2-3 hours. So it's like one match per session.
And is this all online?
Yeah, online. So we usually play that on Roll20 because location and distance of the spells are like key.
Yeah.
Theater of the Mind might be a little bit tricky because the one that telling you where you are is the DM. So as we know, we are always biased. So
Yes, whether you move left or right in your head could depend on whether they hit you or not. And then that would get very angry, yeah. Roll20 seems like a really good place to do that. And public roles. No one can be accused of cheating. Sounds brilliant. I mean, I don't want to try it at all. It sounds really intense, but it does sound like a huge amount of fun. Brilliant.
I mean, even if you lose, it's always fun to see the combos that people come with. It's like, I didn't know that was...
Can you come as a spectator? Can you just turn up and watch?
Yeah, absolutely. So
okay.
Roll20 is just like anyone can join.
That sounds amazing. That sounds brilliant. Cool. I will come and cheer you on in one of your games.
Next time.
Right. I think we have time for one more question. So
roll that.
Why, thank you. That is a 14 and it's a very happy question to end on. Ali, what is the funniest moment you have experienced in game?
Oh. in another universe, Tesele once jumped out of a cliff. Full Pocahontas moment. And that moment came to define the whole narrative of what the campaign was going to be about. Well, not about, but like. So we were sort of investigating a cave, and one of the characters goes down and goes sucked into the cave. So we just lost track of the character. And in my mind, there was a second rope that was secured. So I took the rope and jumped. The rope wasn't there. So I managed to survive the death saves, I think the cleric casted us for the day. I don't remember that. I was just lying down in the frozen lake.
Okay, so it wasn't enough damage to wipe you out completely.
Yeah, no, but enough to put me out. Yes. So. And yeah, that was fun. I mean, it's literally stressing. I think this is a public apology to my cleric, because I know the cleric lives in stress just because of the selling. But it was fun. And then from then on, it was like, hold the selly. Don't let the selly touch that. And the selly, you're going to jump again. So,
is this the same party where the wizard has banishment constantly prepped just in case?
Yes. Yeah, the cleric, yes.
Is everyone in that party as chaotic as Tesele, or is it Tesele and then everybody else over here somewhere?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to ask them now. No, I think if we add a little bit more of chaos, I mean, we all sort of make random chaotic choices from time to time. But I think if we just add a little bit more, the balance just would be like, burn the wall, burn it all. So I think I'm happy that they let me be that agent of chaos.
It sounds brilliant. Did you manage to get your party member back who'd been sucked into a cliff?
Yes. I mean, there is another question. What would you change?
Oh, go for it. Tell me now. Would you have checked the rope?
Before jumping into a cliff, make sure if the rope is secure. So yes, we managed to, but then it was two threats at the same time, right? Like keeping Tesele alive and recovering our other members. So yeah.
I just love the image of you grabbing a rope and just flinging yourself off the cliff and then halfway down. Oh, your poor party.
And it was like session 5 or 6. So it was like a sort of new table. And just, this guy is jumping out of cliffs. I wonder what they were thinking out of me and Tesele. It was like, sorry.
Has Tesele done anything as stupid since?
Since? I would say no, but I think you have to ask my party members. You know? I would say no. I think that's sort of top three. No, I think that's top. That's top. Yes.
Is the Tesele?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
There is this vampiric city, and Tesele has that version of Tesele has a theme with blood. So every time he's just cutting himself for not in a bad way. So he noticed that we were in a vampire city and he's like, these things might react to blood. There is a building made of crystal and he cuts himself, puts his hand on the wall and the city starts draining the Tesele's essence of life. I mean, I would argue that had positive consequences, but my party members, I would say they will strongly disagree with me.
Good. How much of this chaos do you think you're bringing into the Shadowfell Symphony, Tesele?
I hope I will bring it all.
Cool, so what you're saying is I need to make sure one of us has banishment permanently there.
Yes, and in this one I'm more squishy than in the other one, so...
Okay, so easier for Harmony to smack you with her shield if you're about to awaken a vampiric city or something.
Yes, yeah, shove me and I will just be like going like a piece of paper.
Or just throw you off a cliff. You have form. It sounds great.
Yes.
Oh dear, I think that is all the time we have.
How come?
I know. It has been an absolute pleasure, Ali. If you want to see Ali do more brilliant, chaotic, wonderful things, then tune in and watch A Shadowfell Symphony on every other Mondays. Ali, do you have anything you want to plug?
I don't think so. I think just give us love every single day. Well, Tuesdays and Mondays and Fridays.
Good stuff. Brilliant. Oh, thanks, Ali. And thank you, everyone, for joining us and being part of the show. If you enjoyed this, and even if you didn't, we stream every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. GMT. And then we stream D&D games on Mondays and Tuesdays. So on Monday, this coming Monday, 6 to 9 p.m. GMT, we are streaming the first episode of Into the Sunset. And on Tuesday, it will be the second episode of Ancient Antics. Same time, 6 to 9 p.m. GMT. All our shows stream at twitch.tv/rolltogetherRPG. And then there's a YouTube link in chat where our VODs go. And don't forget, you can also enjoy as a podcast. Finally, many thanks again to our D20 Club on Patreon, our wonderful dice heads, all of our sponsors and supporters. And stay classy at the table.